God's word in scripture for us this morning is found in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In seminary, I noticed that my classmates who were preparing to be pastors in other denominations were really into Paul. They quoted Paul more than they quoted Jesus. You'd be sitting around and they'd say, well, Paul said, right. I say that with kindness and with appreciation for their love of Paul. Most of my classmates who were disciples of Christ like us had the same kind of love, not so love relationship with Paul that I have. For the most part, we didn't even have really a relationship with Paul. We stuck to the Gospels, and we read from Paul's letters when we found something of interest. I never have known what it is with us disciples of Christ and Paul that rubs us the wrong way sometimes. There are some parts of letters that have been attributed to Paul that are not so flattering to women. That's true. And as we know, he is just so obnoxious about so many things. But I think I have found something that I know for sure does not sit well with disciples of Christ. Back in verse 27 of chapter 1, leading into the verses that Jay read, Paul says, "Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel." Then, in verse 2 of chapter 2, Paul writes, "Make my joy complete, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." We know that the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, is a denomination that was born on the frontier here in the United States, right? But if for any reason anyone ever thought that our denomination may have been at the very cusp of the early church, this part of Philippians should be like a blaring neon sign that screams, "Disciples of Christ don't abide by the one mind qualification." It's true. We don't. We come by it naturally, so don't be ashamed of it. Alexander Campbell, one of our founders, loved to debate. I think he lived for debating, actually. Of course, that was the norm back in the 1800s. People debated important issues, matters of life and death types of issues. People would show up to debate. Other people would show up to watch and listen to the debate in person. One person would speak uninterrupted. uninterrupted, no one shouting or screaming. Can we even imagine that anymore? Except for, obviously, the preacher up here preaching. The next person would speak. These would be very long speeches, by the way. They knew what they would be debating, and they would prepare very long papers. There was not a moderator sitting there asking questions and then having each person take a turn answering the same question. The whole debate would be on one subject with the occasional off-the-topic section, of course. And these debates were taken seriously. This is how people shared their views, their ideas, and how we learned from one another. So, Alexander Campbell was, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say, Alexander Campbell was a little bit like Paul. When he would get going on a subject, oh my goodness, you couldn't stop him. He would not let go of it. He would debate it to death. He was a tremendous debater. And I'm sure that Alexander and Barton Stone, one of our other founders, spent much time debating with each other, not necessarily in public, although some in public, but among themselves. They didn't agree on everything. Let me give you an example. Alexander Campbell believed that the only way to baptize was by immersion. Okay, we're disciples, we'll go with that. Barton Stone believed in baptism by immersion as a sign of forgiveness, but also believed in accepting the unimmersed believers into the church. We really like that. Alexander Campbell said, if you were not immersed as remission of sins, then you were not admitted into the church. Wow. Of one mind? I think not. I wish I had been present to hear the discussions, debates, and arguments two of our founders must have had. We just started out not being of one mind. It is why we as a denomination have such a hard time taking a stand on anything. We're getting over that slowly but surely. But until recently, when we would gather at our general assemblies, we would take a sense of the assembly on any given issue, meaning the 3,000 people who gathered felt a particular way about an issue on a particular day in a particular month of a particular year with a particular weather pattern. You get the picture, right? We were created to be a church diverse in our thought. Did you know that Alexander Campbell, I've told some of you this before because it's really wonderful if you want to read it, has a sermon or a lecture or a speech for a debate, whatever it is, it's very long, against war. Yes, Alexander Campbell was so against war, he had a hard time grasping how ministers could become military chaplains. For all he saw in war was the destruction of God's creation. And yet, we have had church members, including ministers who have been chaplain, go to war. Barton Stone called for the immediate abolition of slavery in 1835. 1835. Such a profound act by Barton Stone. And yet we had churches in the South in the 1900s where preachers defended slavery and members abided by slavery. We were never of one mind for the good or for the bad. Never. Baptism, war, slavery, and from there, we should organs be in worship? Should women be allowed to hold offices and be preachers? Should our LGBT sisters and brothers even be allowed to walk through the doors of the church? Every issue that comes along, whether we debate it publicly as a church or people threaten to leave the denomination if such and such happens, we have never lived up to Paul's words that we are to be of one mind. We have never been of one mind on any given issue at any time ever. Even so, this part of Philippians is one of my all-time favorite parts due to verses 5 through 11. What a beautiful hymn or confession, wherever Paul got it from. It is an absolutely beautiful image of how God emptied God's self into human form. That word emptied can also mean to be made poor. God became poor. God humbled God's self. God gave everything, even death on a cross. See, it is so beautiful. And yet, I started reading back at chapter 1, verse 27, and could not stop laughing. I think I have spent way too much time with Paul since the beginning of Lent. I read these verses of being of one mind, and I think, is he crazy? We don't know how to be of one mind. God, help us. Our own founders did not have one mind. And maybe that is why we so desperately need to hear what Paul is saying. When Paul begins to say, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation from love, if there is any sharing in the Spirit, if there is any compassion and sympathy, that if should really be translated, given that there is, or since there is, so we should hear, given that within the body of Christ there is encouragement in Christ, there is consolation from love, there is sharing in the Spirit, there is compassion and sympathy, because this is life in Christ, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Don't look out for your own selfish ambition or your own conceit, but humble yourselves. Don't look out for your own interest, but to the interest of others. Paul continues that this one mind he keeps calling the church in Philippi to is the same mind that was in Jesus Christ. Jesus, who never put anything above offering compassion, love, grace, mercy, and the kingdom of God to all. Now, Paul doesn't know about our 21st century need to be individuals who think for ourselves, don't want to conform to anyone else's way of being. I am my own person. You can't tell me what to do. In Paul's time, you did not survive if you were not part of a community. There was no life if you were not part of a community. If by chance you did survive, you certainly did not thrive. In Paul's time, there were all sorts of differences of opinion and thoughts and ideas and debating. Circumcise, don't circumcise. Eat the food offered to the idols, don't eat the food offered to the idols. I'm going to come see you, no, I'm not going to come see you. Paul could hold his own in a debate, too. The followers of Jesus Christ were not of one mind on any issue, as they came from a variety of walks of life, economic status, ethnicity, and yet they all believed in Jesus as the Christ. And with all of their differences, the offering of life to all stood central. Caring for the community as a whole stood central. So central that Paul tells them to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Being of the mind of Christ is so important that Paul says when it comes to whether your own self-interest or the needs of others are at stake, we better approach those decisions, ideas, whatever, with fear or awe or reverence and just a little bit of trembling. Paul had to write a lot of letters to a lot of different communities to keep reminding them of this, but at the heart of who we are as the body of Christ is the gospel, the good news of God's love for all. And when we gather with all of our differences and put our own self-gain aside, we become a community filled with diversity and differing opinions and ideas and strong-willed people. Yes, strong-willed people. When we put our own self-gain aside, we become a people filled with encouragement, love, sharing of the Spirit, compassion, and sympathy. We need diversity. We need all voices around us so that we can learn and grow and be challenged and be a broader picture of the body of Christ. As long as the mind of Jesus, the humbling grace of God, is at the center of what we do, we will be of one mind, Jesus' mind. Maybe Paul did foresee a church with the name Christian Church Disciples of Christ that was founded by people who could barely agree on one or two issues at a time. He may have even wanted to hang out with us if he was still around. Paul never wanted everyone to agree on everything, although I think he did want everyone to agree with him, but that's a whole nother sermon. He just calls us to be who we are and remember that we are the body of Christ. Christ who gave everything. And this good news calls us to be a community who cares for all. We are never going to change. We just can't. It's in our DNA, and I thank God for that. For in the midst of all of our differences, it is when we set our own interests aside with fear and trembling so that grace may be offered to all that we encounter the presence of God. Fear and trembling. What a wonderful way for us to approach the mind of Christ. Amen.